has happened this week. You look around the world, a lot of things have taken place. We see bombings taking place. We see explosions taking place. We see a nation rocked to its core, penetrated with fear. And that fear element just seems to go into the very crevices of every part of a nation when something happens, where explosions take place, where people are killed. And it's amazing how the mainstream of society has a tendency to milk that thing to its nth degree. Have you noticed the broadcasts and the newspapers and the television programs, the news is just one, it has been that when the bombings took place, one photo after another, after another, and after another. When they were showing all these things, was it putting in the people of the nation faith or fear? Fear. Fear was being put into the nation. What's happening in our society? And all these kind of things were mentioned. Fear was being permeated into the nation. And we know, we've talked about this now over the last couple of weeks, that fear is just the opposite of faith. Fear is not a part of the kingdom of God. Fear is a part of the kingdom of this world. And the god of this world, who is Satan, the devil, the prince of liars, he's the one who wants to permeate society with fear. And you and I, if we are going to walk in the kingdom of God, we're going to have to resist the devil, resist fear. If we're resisting the devil, we're resisting fear, because the devil is a god of fear. Fear is something that moves the hand of the devil, or activates the hand of the devil in our lives, the way faith activates the hand of God in our lives. Remember that. Think about that. Think about that fact, that fear will put you in bondage to the place where you begin to function or operate out of fear, doing things that are not healthy, doing things that are not productive. If the enemy can get us to walk in fear, he will shut down the body of Christ, so that we will not walk in faith and produce things. So keep that in mind. No matter what you're dealing with, if you're dealing with fear of any kind, I don't care what it is, fear of any kind, that is functioning in the arena of where the enemy works. And we have to deal with that fear. Now, I want to talk this morning about Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, where it says, "They, the church, overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." I'm going to try to just stay real calm this morning and talk really with a teaching kind of a anointing this morning, in order to be able to help us to get a grasp of what it means to resist the devil and overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. The scripture tells us that that's the way the body of Christ is to defeat the devil. And there is the devil who needs to be defeated. Although the cross has paid the price to defeat the enemy, as a fact, he's still loose as a terrorist in our midst. You know, right now, the Americans who have went into Iraq, they defeated the army as a whole in Iraq, but there's still lots of terrorism going on, isn't there? There's still people being killed. There's still all kinds of work of darkness taking place there. And when the enemy, although he is a defeated foe, he is a terrorist trying to manipulate the people of God into injury, into destruction, really. And so this is what we're dealing with, and we need to recognize that we can overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Don't forget that part, the word of our testimony. And the scripture also says, "And they did not love their lives unto death." Now, talking about the scripture here in Revelation 12, 11, is talking about those who have come out of great tribulation, those who were in the world and they came out of tribulation, that they defeated the enemy. And the only way you can really defeat the enemy, and by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, if you do not have a fear of death. If you're walking around with a fear of death, fear of dying, a fear of death, you're going to have a difficult time in defeating the enemy. Your testimony is going to be weak, because the scripture says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. In other words, they were willing to stand up for Jesus, even if it meant death. And when we can do that, when we realize that the fear of death has already been dealt with, because Jesus died on the cross, he took the fear of death from the body of Christ, and now we can live without ever having any fear of dying. Know that when we leave this body, when we go to heaven, when we leave this body, that's our destiny is far better than the place that we're in. So why would we fear death? Why would we fear death if we're going to a better place? Praise God. When I see somebody who dies and who they're born again and they're on their way to heaven, I mean, sure, you grieve the loss of not having them in your presence. That's all healthy and that's all okay. But the Apostle Paul says we don't grieve as though those who have no hope. In other words, we grieve because of the loss of their presence with us, but we also rejoice that they are going to a better place. No more pain, no more shame. Everything is glory in heaven. Praise God. Now, they overcame him. They foiled the devil by the blood of the Lamb. They foiled the devil's work in the church, because the scripture is really talking about the church. The church overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now, we talked last week about the deliverance of the Israelites out of the land of Egypt, and we said that how that was a type of you and I coming out of the world and coming into the kingdom of God. You and I coming to a place where the devil had no more dominion over us, come out of darkness and into light. The children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, that was a type of us coming out of the world system and coming into the kingdom of God system, the kingdom of God way of doing things. Now, what we talked about when the blood was put on the doorposts, when the children of Israel, on the night of Passover, when the children of Israel, they were instructed to take the blood, put it over the doorpost, and the Bible says that they were instructed to stay inside the house. They weren't instructed to put the blood on the door and then go about doing their own thing. There was more instruction. They said to stay inside the house. If you go outside the house, the destroying angel is going to come toward you. This is a type of you and I. When we're born again, we have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as a sign over us, and we are told to stay inside Christ. Inside the body of Christ, we are to be hooked up and stay with the body. If we get outside the body, we get outside in a dangerous place where we are easily picked off. You know, actually, Dave was telling me about a show he seen this week. I think it was wolves. That's what it was, that wolves were coming, killing a buffalo, was it? A buffalo. What they do, they're very smart animals, and they circle around and they find out what's the weakest animal amongst them, and they get them separated from the rest of the herd. And then when they're separated from the rest of the herd, they go in and just demolish that weak calf or that wounded animal. They go in and they attack it. This is exactly what the enemy does. The enemy, what he does is he tries to get them first, get people dissatisfied with being a part of the body of Christ, get satisfied with expressing the love for one another, get dissatisfied with the things of God and start separating them, and they become weaker. And when they get out there, that's where the enemy can attack them, because they're no longer hooked up to the rest of the body. You've heard it said before that, you take a fireplace and there's a whole bunch of hot coals, and when they're all together, they're all burning bright. But if one gets over on the side and gets cooled down a bit, it just gets black and dark and it's all alone. It cools right off. You can't get cool. You can't get on fire for God being out on your own. There has to be a connection with the body of Christ so that we can have the flow of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ flowing through the whole body. Because when we're all connected, the blood is flowing properly. Now let's go. If you're inside Christ, you stay protected. 1 John 1:3. That which we have declared, the Apostle John now speaking to the church, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. So John is saying you have to hear some things so that you can have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. I love that scripture. We can have fellowship. John is saying, you can have fellowship with us. You can have fellowship with me. You can have fellowship with those who are really standing for God. And, oh, by the way, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. So if you have fellowship with me, you also get to have fellowship with the Father and the Son. He said, I write these things to you so that you may know this. John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now notice, if we walk in the light, what does it mean to walk in the light? To walk in God's word, walk in obedience to God's word, we have fellowship with one another. So an indication of walking in the light is that we fellowship with one another. We can gauge the degree of light that we're walking in by the degree of fellowship that we're having with one another. Yes, do you see this? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So if we're walking in the light, we know that we are fellowshipping with one another, and the blood is upon us to keep and continually cleanses us from all sin. I wish I'd never sin again in my life. I wish that I've never, ever, 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 ever missed the mark. I wish I could be that person that would never again miss the mark. But I know what I'm like, and I'm going to need more of the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. I'm going to need that. So one of the ways I want to make sure that I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus, I want to stay in fellowship with you guys. I want to stay hooked up. I want to stay in fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. That's a criteria that you and I must live by. Recognizing that really in this life that we live in, the cleansing of the blood of Jesus cleanses us as we stay in fellowship one with another. Now notice in this passage, there are three verbs in the continuing present tense. In other words, it's happening now. Walk, fellowship, and cleanse. We are continually to walk in the light. We are to continually have fellowship, and then we continue to get cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pretty simple, really. When you look at what the Word of God says, it's important to see that our cleansing is conditional. Our fellowship is conditional. Fellowship is conditional upon walking in the light. It seems like our cleansing is conditional on walking in the light and having fellowship with one another. There's conditions. People think that they can come into the kingdom of God and into the family of God and think that there's nothing else no standard to live by. But I'm here to tell you this morning that there are things that will happen that if I do this, this will take place. If I get out of fellowship with the Lord, if I walk out of the light of God, I'm not going to be walking with the fellowship of one another. If I'm not walking with the fellowship of one another, is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ continuing to cleanse me? Because if I have something against Janice here and I get annoyed with her and I get into a place of offense with her, I'm not walking in the light no more. I'm out of fellowship with her. So is the blood cleansing me? No. That's why I said last week it's so important. In the kingdom of this world, you and I can get along just fine doing everything, quote, right. In our jobs, for instance, we can go to work every day, do our job really good, and work with the person next to us and get our job done really good. But I can't stand this individual that's working. I can't stand being around him. I have an issue with him. I'm offended with him. You can still get along fine in the world, in your workplace and so forth like that, but not in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, it doesn't work like that. In the kingdom of God, you can do everything right, but if you're out of fellowship, you're wrong. I hope these guys over here are not the only people that are getting it. We have to make sure that we maintain our fellowship with one another, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ would cleanse us from all sin. Romans 13:12. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Paul says, put on the armor of light. Light is an armor. So when we walk together, when we commune together, when we fellowship with one another, we're walking in the light and we're putting on the armor of light. Armor is meant to protect us. Armor can protect us from the darts that the enemy throws at it. Ephesians 5:8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. Having fellowship with one another is the key criteria in measuring the depth of the light that we're walking in. Again, Revelation 12:11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. So you and I, they loved not their lives unto death. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Working together, living, communing with one another, having fellowship with one another, being hooked up with the body is a testimony that will cause us to walk in the light of God. When people see us walking together, they notice that. I want you to tell you something else, that when the demonic forces see us walking together, they notice that too. You know, one of the reasons why I'm still alive today in good health is because I walk with you guys. Because when the enemies who would rather snuff me out see me, they know that I'm hooked up with a body of believers. They know that I'm not walking this path alone. I'm walking with others that will stand in the gap for me and pray. I'm not alone. When they see you, do they see you connected? And this is the key. We must walk in the light, and our testimony has a lot to do with our deliverance. Fellowshipping together is a testimony to walking in the light. Now, I want to read a scripture, and it's fairly long, but I just don't see any way of reading just parts of it. And it's from Daniel chapter 3, and we're going to read about three people who have a tremendous testimony in God. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. And this is the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were thrown into the fiery furnace. And it's important for us to read that because I want it to relate to where we're at today. These children of Israel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and of course Daniel was part of them, they were taken over to Babylon. They were captured and taken to Babylon, and now they were living in the land of Babylon. They were subjects to King Nebuchadnezzar, and King Nebuchadnezzar had raised them up and taught them the Chaldean language, and so he promoted them a lot, but they were still Jews. They were still God's people. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to go back and read this in the Message Bible. I think it'll speak to us just a little bit different. King Nebuchadnezzar built a gold statue 90 feet high and 9 feet thick. He set it up on the Dura Plain and in the province of Babylon. He then ordered all the important leaders in the province, everybody who was anybody, to the dedication ceremony of the statue. They came for the dedication, all the important people, and took places before the statue of that Nebuchadnezzar had erected. Now, I want you to notice, he said here, he told all the important people to come. So if this was the case in Prince Edward Island, if we were, you know, if this was a kingdom in the natural realm, there'd be a king, and he would call all the people. That means he would call the MLAs, he would call the people who are heads of every department in government, he would call them all to this place where he wanted to address them. A herald then proclaimed in a loud voice, "Attention everyone, every race, color, and creed, listen. When you hear the band strike up all the instruments, the trombones," and he names the instruments there, "fall down, you must fall down to your knees and worship the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Anyone who does not kneel and worship shall be thrown immediately into a roaring furnace. The band started to play, a huge band equipped with all the musical instruments of Babylon, and every race, color, and creed fell to their knees and worshiped the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Now think about this. If you were called in that kind of a setting, all the important people were there, all people who had actually influenced your life, and they're all bowing down. What are you going to do? Just then some Babylonian fortune teller stepped up and accused the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "Long live the king. You gave strict orders, O king, that when the big band started playing, everyone had to fall to their knees and worship the gold statue. And whoever did not go to their knees and worship it had to be pitched into a roaring furnace. Well, there were some Jews here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have placed in high positions in the province of Babylon. These men are ignoring you, O king. They don't respect your gods, and they won't worship the gold statue you set up." Now notice, he said, they won't respect your gods. The gods of this world are looking for respect. The gods of this world are not comfortable with you and I just living out our lives, not paying any attention or acknowledging them. Do you know of any groups like that? They're doing some things. They're groups that are doing their own thing that are contrary to what many of us believe, and they won't settle until we agree that what they're doing is okay.